Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we do.
You are what you read, Daniel. We're a couple of multiple men.
There are multiple men on this podcast.
There are multiple men on the podcast.
More than one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What if I was the multiple of you, what version would I be?
The one who, like,
because you're like the bitter one of me.
You're like,
if you were like my dupe,
you're like the forgetful one.
Forgetful?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You just forget stuff.
I've never forgotten anything in my life.
You're the late one.
Name what? That's not even my fault, dude. I hate being late.
you're the part of me that, like, you can't put the Oreos away.
Oh, dude, that's true. Honestly, yeah, I'm that one.
Yeah, that's like probably one of the cooler aspects of multiple man, because like I learned a lot from X Factor.
Yeah,
when we read that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my only impression of multiple man is like from what, like X3 or whatever, X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Oh yeah, is he in that?
Yeah, that. Just for like a second.
Oh wow,
he's like on like a truck that's carrying like the Juggernaut or something.
Oh yeah,
and then like five of them comes out. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah, and one of them in there is probably like, I don't know,
really insecure.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I think it's interesting because when you see like a bunch of multiple men, it's like, what are all these personalities supposed to be? Is one of them the one that likes pineapple on pizza or whatever? You know what I mean? How deep does that go? Does that tree, because that have a multiple of you and he's like the evil one, I'm like, that's a pretty big chunk of a person, I feel like.
Yeah, and then he can have like hundreds, so it's not like he has like 100, like,
maybe some emotions can or be whatever. Like multiple evil ones that are like the same kind of evil, same.
Isn't it like kind of what he's feeling when he duplicates?
I don't think
I thought that was an aspect of it.
I don't think it's always like that, but it could impact it for sure.
So it's just random.
Yeah. By the way, we read the Multiple Man book. We just don't understand how this shit works.
Yeah. The subtitle is, it'll all make sense in the end.
Some of it will make sense in the end. is a more apt title.
You'll be able to sleep by the end. You know, you'll understand enough to move on with your life.
Yep, exactly.
We got different time codes in the description. We got the book, which is Multiple Man. We got Backbender Matters and the Poll List, but we start with the news. Got any news?
It's been a pretty dry week, it seems like.
Few and far between.
The only thing I saw that I thought was just funny is that Spider-Man's going to team up with celebrity chef Jose Andres in Marvel's wildest food-fueled crossover yet. It's going to be Spider-Man Meals to Astonish.
I saw like a variant for that.
It's written by Steve Orlando. Yeah, and there's what looks like a Mike Mignola cover.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Which is kind of bizarre.
Steve Orlando is still around?
I think he's like active.
He's doing something.
He's always doing stuff.
I think he's doing a Substack thing.
That could be it too, yeah.
But I mean, that's good. Comics are good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are going to be brought into comics from the Food Network audience.
Because that's essentially like the goal, right?
I would think so. I think if someone approaches Marvel and was like, I would like to be in a comic with Spider-Man, they would have to like, I mean, I don't think they probably are smart enough to run any sort of analysis to be like, will this sell well?
Like, there's a whole channel
like
just for food shows.
Like, is there a market analysis that they do for any of these crossovers?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I feel like it'll just be like, he's missing an ingredient and Spider-Man's gotta go get it.
Maybe they did it because people liked those DC KFC ads.
Did they?
I thought they were like interesting.
When, like 10 years ago?
I never read them, but I was like, that's funny that the Colonel is just like with Green Lantern and the Flash. Or like those Snickers ads that were like comics and you turn the page and like all of a sudden
annoying.
The Flash is in your comic and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That like was, it was clever, but got like a little annoying because
it was so annoying.
He just read it.
Because there were different ones too. It's not like they were all the same.
It's like smart. from like a
I still remember it
from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah,
haven't bought a Snickers since.
I definitely have, and I was probably influenced by those ads. So good job, Snickers. You've probably gotten anywhere from $5 to $15 for me.
Alex Ross doing new book called Marvel Dimensions. It is a multiverse story.
Cool.
It'll be 112 pages coming out in September.
Is he painting it, coloring it?
Yeah, like art and writing and stuff.
Well, I don't think he colored his last Fantastic Four book, did he?
Full Circle?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe someone else.
I think someone else colored him, or it definitely wasn't like his painted work.
That seems weird, doesn't it?
That someone would color him?
Yeah.
Definitely weird, yeah.
From Abrams Books.
What?
Josh Johnson. Because this wasn't like...
It wasn't Marvel?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I guess he's able... maybe he got permission or something, but for some reason, Marvel didn't put this out.
Okay.
And Abrams Comic Art, or Abrams Books, is like the one who like published it.
Got it.
So...
Interesting, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's. I assume it's like when IDW will publish like some archive collection or something.
Yeah.
Or like...
Like maybe Marvel has interest in...
an art book or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
Makes sense. That's really all I had, though. Do we see new trailers?
I don't think so, dude. Everything for the Super Bowl is like fucking AI, GLP-1s, or like...
Doing a bet on your AI and then eat your AI?
And then like sports betting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty shit.
We didn't see a Doomsday thing?
I don't think so, no.
Seems like that would have been
or even
time.
Like a Spider-Man thing.
Does that come out before Doomsday?
July.
That's soon.
Super.
Wow, they missed a chance.
Yeah, dude. Like with how many people... I think it was like the most viewed Super Bowl.
It was the most viewed halftime show I saw, but I don't know about the rest of it.
I just assume it's both.
Yeah, probably.
So, I stole this news from another podcast.
Cool.
Called First Issue Club.
That's what we like to do.
So, a dude in Iowa City, he went to a comic shop and he stole like 7 graded comics.
Okay.
And the store... said that he stole like $2,100 worth of stuff.
Okay. So like 300 a piece.
Something like that. Yeah. Maybe for insurance reasons or something like that. And it's all the same series.
Okay.
You want to take a guess at what he stole?
He stole 7 books.
Yeah. 7 issues graded. All graded from the same series.
Absolute Batman?
Nope.
Is it recent?
It's like something that...
Within the last 5 years?
It's like something that's kind of always coming out.
Okay. Archie?
He stole 7 Lady Death comics.
Whoa. This guy knows what's up.
And, well, it was... There's like a little video of it you can see. And it seems like he just kind of grabbed some shit and then like left.
Wow.
You know? And I don't really know the going rate for graded Lady Death comics, but
a lot.
That seems a little steep.
Parker was looking into it once.
Lady Death comics?
Yeah. He's like, this is awesome.
Like, oh my God.
Well, like
what, smut?
Pretty much. That's pretty much what it is. He was gooned up when he was fucking stealing those Lady Death comics.
All right, hold on.
Like there's the most expensive one.
Lady Death 9.8.
There's like ones that I assume would go for easily 5 digits. Not right now, but I'm sure some have in the past.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, just because they're like on eBay and stuff for a certain amount doesn't mean they're gonna like
that it'll sell,
you know.
But what are you looking at right now?
So there's one called Lady Death Retribution #1.
Uh-huh.
It's an Oktoberfest edition.
Oh, cool.
By Monte Moore. Is limited to 100 copies.
Mm-hmm. Rare. Nice.
He's going to fuck up.
She drinking a beer?
She's carrying a bunch of beers.
Okay. That's a good one. A good cover.
Let's see.
Oh my God. That's got to go for so much money.
It's got 4 watchers. It's up for $150.
Oh, okay.
So maybe. It's kind of, eBay's kind of crazy because they'll just have like these like nude covers just on here. This is going to fuck up my algorithm.
Your eBay algorithm?
Yeah, it's going to say I got like looking at pervy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just seemed kind of steep for
300
to pop, you know?
Yeah, if that one's 150, then yeah.
Like, probably. Why did you have that all in like a stack and that's easily reachable, you know?
It wasn't on a wall?
I guess not.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I thought that was funny.
That poor comic shop.
They're fine.
Yeah.
They have insurance. And have you ever heard of the series called Creepy? From, I think it's like,
no.
Like EC Comics?
I don't think so.
Let me pull up like kind of a cover.
Did it look like a just retro horror book?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe.
Or have you heard of like Eerie Comics?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But there's a lot of those. There's like Creepshow and stuff like that too, and Monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, so like Dark Horse has been publishing these like archive books.
Uh-huh.
That's like just one of the covers.
Okay. Right? Yeah. I've probably seen it.
So there's one that came out that is called Creepy Presents, and it's Bernie Wrightson. So it's just all of his books, I think.
Whoa.
So all that collected, which is pretty neat.
And he did creepy books?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll check that out.
Yeah. It came out last week. 144 pages of Bernie Wrightson stuff. That's the cover that he got.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, brother.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Very cool.
What book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Multiple Man from Marvel Comics. It was written by Matthew Rosenberg, and it had some art in it.
Sure did.
And the art, famously, was done by...
Andy McDonald?
Andy McDonald, that sounds right. And with art by Tamara Bonvillain. Or colors by Tamara Bonvillain. And then cover art, Marcos Martin. Good covers. Gotta say.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So I had read this when it was coming out, and we randomly got this book from our big list of need to read for the podcast. So I assume you put this on there?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
It was fun.
I think it's definitely fun.
I think it's pretty good.
This is definitely a trade read, because reading this month to month
seems impossible.
It was tough.
Yeah, great trade read. It's definitely not what I expected.
Yeah.
You know, it is like a time travel book.
Yep.
Which, you know, might not be for everybody.
Uh-huh.
I love a time travel book.
Me too.
And it's even more confusing because it's...
There's multiples.
It has to do with his dupes and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that was fun. It got... There's kind of like a level of like understanding when it comes to time travel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of above me being able to understand it.
Right.
You know,
I think what this book does well though, is that they lean into the absurdity of it and how it like doesn't really work, or if it does, it's like too complicated and they don't expect you to really track that. I don't think necessarily. I definitely did a lot better reading it just kind of all at once in a trade. And reading month to month, I was like, I think I get this, but I'm lost in some pieces. But I like just the absurdity of it. I think that's what leads into it. Because I think a Multiple Man comic could be kind of confusing as is if there was like some sort of mystery you're trying to solve with dupes and stuff. And so to add the layer of like time travel, he does, I think, a pretty good job of throwing in a couple twists in there that are kind of fun.
Yeah, I think my instinct would just be like, oh, he can have these clones or whatever. See how like interesting and useful that is.
Yeah.
But everything I've read from him, it's pretty much an inconvenience. And it's like,
yeah,
here's how fucked up this can get like pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's been an interesting aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. A couple parts of this gave me a little chuckle too, which I appreciate. But
it wasn't even like jokes necessarily. It was just like, the absurdity, like
it's
you're
just
saying.
Like silliness.
I'm like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
I was like, this is the kind of thing that can only be in a comic, which I appreciate.
And once it like sets up that absurdity, then like more absurd things can happen and it feels normal in this book,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
Which is fun because it like there's aspects in this that wouldn't work in other books, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into it. So issue one opens with Strongman and Magic.
Strong guy.
You're right. Sorry.
Strong guy. Strong start.
Yeah. As soon as you see Strong Guy, I'm like, fuck yeah.
This is 8 out of 10 immediately.
Yeah, dude, honestly, yeah. Strong Guy Magic find a lone Jamie Madrix duplicate that was sealed in a vault. And they bring him to Beast because the dupe is slowly dying due to Jamie Prime, like the original one, having died in a Terrigen Mist thing. This was like when there's Terrigen Mist going around killing mutants because they were mutants. And dupe will eventually die and like disintegrate or something if it doesn't like reattach with its prime. So he's just kind of like a loner. So the new Jamie tasks Beast with finding a cure, and then he steals like a time travel device from Bishop. And then Jamie gets into a fight with like a future version of himself that traveled back in time to this point when Jamie was about to go back in time. And then the mansion gets ambushed by multiple man versions of different superheroes like Hulk and Cloak from Cloak and Dagger, and like, I don't know, just different like amalgamations. It seems like. But that's how the first issue ends.
So the Cloak one is like also like a sorcerer.
Yeah, I think all of these are amalgamations of Marvel heroes because there's like a Deadpool Wolverine type mix up. But you could probably just say that it's just Deadpool with some future tech in him. And then there's
the best one.
A Cable and Warlock.
The sickest thing I've ever seen.
Which is such a fun idea. So fucking cool.
I was like, is he like half Warlock or something? Or yeah. Is like Warlock like infective or something?
Nah. I don't get Warlock. I don't think I've ever read anything with Warlock in it. We were close.
We got like a tease at the end of a trade that he's gonna be in the next trade.
Was that the new X-Men?
We're like, no, yeah.
The Grant Morrison new one? Mutants.
New Mutants. He's a part of the New Mutants, isn't he?
He is. We only read the one New Mutants, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And he was good. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was early on. We should read that original run.
Old?
Yeah, that Bill Sienkiewicz one. Because it's...
Who wrote that?
Claremont, I want to say.
You want to read Claremont X-Men?
He did a lot of it, dude. Some of it's bound to be good. He did Days of Future Past. Yeah. And that one's only like 3 issues. So that one can't be too long.
Well, I just assume all the good X-Men is just done by him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, true. You're probably right, but I like this point where Jamie finds out that like Jamie Prime died while and he's like eating a sandwich and he's like, damn, that sucks.
So you mentioned that this dupe was able to like separate himself from the Prime.
He was just on his own already, and I guess he was just vacuum sealed in a vault. I don't know if that like has something to do with the fact that he didn't die.
He made it seem like he made it happen somehow. Like he was able to separate himself.
The way I took it is that he went to go like basically vacuum seal himself in a place while Jamie Prime died. Because normally if the Prime dies, then all of the other dupes will die. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's the fact that he was like sealed in this vault. It like didn't affect him. And so he's just kind of on his own. But I guess eventually if you don't regroup with your Prime, then you'll just, you start to get like organ failure and stuff. And you just.
Yeah. You just like start decaying.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is kind of a crazy idea.
So he knocks out Bishop.
He does. Yeah.
Which I don't know if it'd be that easy for just a guy, you know?
Yeah. He really is just a guy. The only superhero version one I don't understand if it is an amalgamation is the Hulk. It seems like he's just the Hulk, but with like multiple man stuff. But all the other ones have multiple man like aspects of them.
I mean, the Hulk, he's got like the multiple man like shirt thing.
He does, but they all have multiple man like logo on them.
Right.
So I didn't know if he was supposed to be like part something else too. But yeah, I think the time travel stuff starts out as confusing, but it does a good job to like pique your interest. You're like, oh, I wonder where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
But issue two, the superpowered multiple men take our Jamie 15 years into the future, where there's like a fascist emperor version of Jamie Madrix called Emperor Madrix. And he's taken over with his multiple men army. And then our Jamie is taken to the resistance, which is led by a kid named Davey. There's also 11 good dupes of multiple man, and there's like a cyborg forge. And so our Jamie comes up with a plan to send the good dupes further into the future to use some sort of technology that they find over there, or to team up with the superheroes to create like better versions of themselves, and then send themselves to the present past to save Jamie Prime. I think that's the plan. I don't know why he felt the need to send him into the future, but then the Resistance gets ambushed and the Hulk Multiple Man is killed. But I like this forge design.
The forge design. Oh yeah.
Where he's like a floating suspended head.
Yeah, I didn't expect him.
Yeah. So it's fun that he's in there. And then there's also a part in this where like those 11 good dupes that are part of the Resistance, the Hulk Multiple Man is like, I remember us having this conversation. So he's like, all of the superpowered ones are the ones in here, which is confirmed later. But at this point in the book, you're like, oh, so how does this all work out then?
I don't know if we say that dupes means duplicates.
Yeah.
So the superpowered ones came back to the Resistance era. And so they have to like, that the duplicates that are in the Resistance don't die, so that they can come back and save them now at that time.
Yeah, he sends them forward. They become superpowered. I think the original plan was to send them back to prevent Jamie Prime from dying.
They're not even sent forward. They're sent to
just different timelines, I guess.
Different times, and
which that's
almost different universes, it seems like.
And so that's another element of this. It's just like, it's not technically just one time travel timeline. I think they're just in different dimensional timelines.
Yeah.
So who knows how that works?
They're like on the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this, not like apocalyptic, but dystopian future.
Yeah.
And there's a restaurant. It's called Multi-Menu.
Oh, good one.
That was good.
I wonder what they serve there.
Probably like,
is that just like multiple?
Probably a bunch of sliders.
Oh,
kind of like a White Castle or something.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's just
like, and they're all they all have like different toppings on them.
Yeah,
because they're different versions. It's funny that the whole sky is just red in this dystopian future.
Oh yeah, you gotta get it across.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this like a kid that like brings them to this Resistance bunker.
Yeah.
And then there's like a, is that another Jamie that's like running it? He's like a young Jamie or something? Or is it like his son or something, kind of?
I think it's his son, technically.
Okay. So his son is like, what brings you to the Resistance? And then Multiple Man's like, that weird little kid. Like,
that weird little kid brought me here.
It's like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, there's a couple moments like that.
Uh-huh.
That are just like funny little one-liners that I enjoy.
He's at like Times Square, and then there's like wanted posters on the wall, and then like there's like stamps over them or whatever. It shows like who's slain.
Yeah, like the Incredibles.
Yeah, one of them is Matt Rosenberg.
Oh, really?
So that was funny.
Wait, I missed that.
Next to Moon Knight and Cap.
Oh, yeah, this is Rosenberg. I skipped right over that.
Oh, my God.
I looked at all of those posters too, which is funny.
I was looking at just like all these like signs and stuff.
Yeah, I saw the Moon Knight, Steve Rogers, Mystique, and Sabretooth. And I was like, those are interesting choices. But I skipped right over Matt Rosenberg.
And that's just some guy.
That's hilarious.
And so Hulk like blew up for some reason.
I think he got like overcharged.
He got like tased and stuff. And like, yeah, it was like electric.
I guess that caused him to blow up.
I've never heard that, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's new.
Because it seems like a pretty normal way that he becomes Hulk. We like get to that.
Yeah. So I don't know why electricity would cause like a big explosion.
Yeah. But it did like, you know, change the stakes a lot.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, one of them is dead. And then issue 3, the Resistance is pushed back into the bunker and they are trapped. There's a few superpowered Multiple Men that fight off the evil army to buy time for some of the good duplicates to travel into the future with Forge's like time travel bracelets to find some type of way to stop Emperor Madrix. But our Jamie is brought is captured and brought to Emperor Madrix, where they reveal that they are slash were both the evil version of Prime Jaime. And after taking Beast Serum to make himself the Prime Jaime Madrix, he took over the world. And so we find out basically that Emperor Madrix, the evil one, is the same Madrix as the one that we've been reading.
Yeah.
Which is quite a twist. And there's a part where Forge kills himself by catching a grenade, and then he decides that there's no time to throw it back. So instead, he opens his head container and puts the grenade in there and then closes the head container, and it just blows him up. But I'm like, it seems like throwing the grenade back would have been quicker and better in that situation.
That, I know that was like really sad or whatever, and a very intense situation.
Right.
But when he like throws the grenade in there, it'd have been so funny if there was like a bloop sound effect.
A doom.
There was nothing, but if there was, it would just be...
It would be such good lettering.
I would have lost it.
Yeah, if there's ever any time I've noticed a missed opportunity in lettering, that's probably one of them.
Yeah. And it's not like he even like shuts like the top.
No, he just leaves it open.
Yeah, so I guess it saved enough, but still.
It just seems like a crazy thing to do in general. Also, there's a Juggernaut version of Multiple Man who's part of the evil team.
Uh-huh.
So does that imply that one of these guys was sent into the future and became some sort of superpowered mutant and then came back?
What do you mean one of these guys?
One of the evil like duplicates of Emperor Madrix.
Well, I don't know what it takes to become a Juggernaut, but yeah. If the Resistance has some superpowered ones, I don't know why, like, the...
Because they were sent into the future to, like... Oh, I guess that's true. Like, eventually... I guess one of these guys becomes superpowered in, like, a couple years.
Like, if you, like, capture, and like, every hero, then I'm sure you could take some stuff from each other.
Yeah, true.
Is it just, like, a helmet? Like, he just needs the helmet to be Juggernaut? Like,
he's ginormous, though.
Yeah, it makes you buff or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Cable Warlock dies this issue.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
So the Sorcerer Madrix.
Yep.
He's like casting a spell and he says like, by the sorrowful soul of Zdarsky.
Yep.
I did this one.
I gotta throw a Zdarsky in there. That's a good magic like term, I think.
The sorrowful soul?
No, Zdarsky.
Oh, yeah.
There's a trophy room of all the dead heroes that
locked
like
out.
Dude, I know.
There's a Lockjaw skull
that
on the
ground. That has to be Lockjaw, right? So is that
there's
just
nothing else that could be.
Does that qualify this as a bad book?
Dead dog?
He's a dead dog. If there's a dead dog in any comic, we qualify it as a bad book. But there's a small chance that this isn't.
Well, we didn't see him get killed.
We didn't see him get killed, but he is dead. So where is that?
I don't think it's a bad book.
Also, I didn't think that Lockjaw had this kind of teeth.
Yeah, he looks more like a...
It looks like a dinosaur like a thing.
Lizard or something, yeah.
Yeah. But it's definitely, he's got the Black Bolt crest thing on there. So it's a little tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad to think about, but I don't think it's like...
Doesn't qualify it as a bad book?
Nah.
Okay, all right, good. Because I don't know if we've ever run into this situation before.
Did you like the beast rug?
Yeah, you made a rug out of beast, which is crazy. Would we be that big if we were skinned and made into a rug? I mean, he's a pretty buff guy, I guess.
You'd think like the bottom part of it would be like his chest, but maybe it was like kind of opened up in
a way.
I think
it was opened up from the chest and like spread out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was crazy.
I know a guy who has like a bear rug. I need to ask him what he...
Like an authentic one?
Yeah, he like hunts and stuff.
Whoa.
It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, I always love to see a big...
It's a creepy-ass house room. That night.
Oh,
there's
I
like
bet.
There's like a big ass.
Have you been there at night?
On the wall. Yeah.
Shit.
I like stayed at their house for like a weekend.
Mm.
There's skulls everywhere. There's like a beaver that's like skinned like this and about like stretched out on this like thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, and then our Jaime Madrix that we've been following gets his head chopped off.
Like
by Emperor Madrix.
Right.
And you're like, what now? What does that mean?
That was an interesting story beat because you're like,
okay.
Well.
Yeah. How are we going to get out of this one?
It's like the first season of Game of Thrones. You're like, what the fuck? That was the guy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So what now? But yeah, issue 4. So Emperor Madrix, right after killing him, feels kind of sad. And right hand, like the right hand man of the
Emperor.
Of the Emperor. He sends an evil duplicate back in time to make sure no one stops Beast from making the serum that makes Emperor Madrix into a prime in the first place. And so Emperor Madrix feels bad for killing our Jamie. So he goes back in time to the first issue and he fights with himself, like we see in the first issue. But it's weird because we thought that the one talking to Beast was originally the normal one. But I think now we know that the evil one was the one trying to do good. Because like one of the multiple men tackles the other one. And we assume the one that got tackled was the one that we were following. But now we know that that's right. Emperor Madrix trying to stop the evil Madrix from doing the evil thing, mm-hmm. which is making himself a prime. So there's kind of like a neat little twist in there.
As soon as like one person gets absorbed, I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, when the panel switches like its composition, you don't know who's who anymore, but it doesn't matter at that point, I feel like. So we see how the good dupes became the superpowered versions of themselves in their timeline, and then they eventually reassemble and go back to the point where they show up in the first issue. And then after they leave, there's some new evil version of Jamie with a dupe army that time travels back after the other Jamie duplicates leave, and he's looking to kill the X-Men. But I love this issue. I love how chaotic it is.
Yeah, I finished this one. I'm like, all right, I'm lost. I really need this last one to reel me in, you know?
I followed everything up until that last like page where just like the next evil like Jamie Madrix dupe came in.
Yeah.
But everything up to that point, I'm like, this is kind of interesting.
I'm like, why is this dude so evil? He's got so many evil dupes.
I don't think he ever gets explained either that well, at least. About like what his motivations are and how he's different, I guess.
Yeah, maybe this could have benefited from like an extra issue to kind of breathe, but
yeah,
or just to kind of explain things a little bit better.
Or maybe add the beginning of this character somewhere,
right?
Or maybe I just missed it, but yeah.
Did you like the super speedos?
Yeah, there's one of the good duplicates gets sent into like, I guess, a swimsuit special universe.
Yeah.
And is that Wonder Man? Is that a Wonder Man?
Yeah, dude.
Swimsuit speedo and a Punisher swimsuit speedo. And they're playing volleyball.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one of them just gets sent into like the old man universe, the wasteland universe.
Yeah. That's like the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Is this Hawkeye that he talks to?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I guess it would be. He's the only recognizable old dude with a beard, I guess. Other than Wolverine.
Yeah, he shows up to the wasteland, he like drinks the water.
Turns into a Hulk.
And then like Hawkeye's like, just make sure you don't drink the water. He's like,
He's like, oh, what?
And then I guess that's just how you become a Hulk. But like,
were you supposed to drink water?
Like normally it's like a bloodstream kind of thing.
Yeah, in that book it is.
Or that's like how She-Hulk would like get her powers or whatever. But in all the Hulks was just like a part or just like Bruce's like kids.
Yeah. And they're like kind of like the product of inbreeding and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Which was fun.
It's not like it was the water or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you need just.
But maybe this is a slightly different version of the wasteland where the water turns into a Hulk.
Yeah. Or yeah, like a canker sore and it got in your bloodstream or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true. I would have liked to see how we got the Cable Warlock version.
Didn't they kind of do that?
They show him in the universe and you see just regular Warlock in there. Which, by the way, sick design. Just
in general. Warlock in general?
Warlock in general, just really cool. Just the way that...
Yeah, he's super weird.
Just the way that he's represented. It looks like there's... like a Wolverine Warlock version in here and like a Cyclops Warlock or something. So just a lot kind of going on with that universe. I would have liked to have seen that a little bit more, but he just kind of gets taken away.
That's what this one is. This is like,
yeah, you see, like, they're part of, what are they called? They're not the X-Men, but they're called something else, I guess.
So he holds like someone hostage.
Yep.
Probably actual Cable.
Oh, it could be.
And he's like, I'm looking for the X-Men. And then this dude who has like the same scar as Cable, he bites him. And that's how he gets like the cybernetic like virus or maybe. Whatever, or disease.
I thought Warlock had to do that. But I could be wrong. I don't know anything about Warlock.
Maybe he has the Warlock disease or whatever.
Okay. All right, that's enough
there's
for me.
There's no real reason to like explain all of it. But
yeah, there's not.
But maybe like he has the cybernetic virus or whatever, but somehow being like having part of Warlock like slows it down or whatever.
Got it.
But it kind of was in place of his shit. You know?
I like that explanation.
But yeah, it was kind of fun to see like a little mini like page little, or two.
Yeah,
like,
a little origin issue.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sorcerer one, like needed to learn magic, but there was no Doctor Strange. It was Tony Stark who's the Sorcerer Supreme now.
Yeah, they were all in their respective timelines for a different amount of time. So they were elsewhere and elsewhen.
Yeah.
One of them was there for 60 years. That was the Sorcerer Supreme one. The Hulk one was there for 2 years. The Cable Warlock one was there for 10 years. And then the Deadpool Wolverine one was there for 3 months.
Yeah.
But then the Sorcerer Supreme one was the one that figured out how to do the time travel stuff with magic to just assemble everybody and then bring them back to the point where we first see them in the first issue. So it's kind of interesting to think that one of them was there for like 60 years and was learning stuff.
Yeah.
And he stayed locked in the whole time. He didn't ever think like, you know what, I'll just stay here.
I mean, like, what else did you do, you know?
I don't know. Maybe he found a wife.
You settle down.
Yeah. He could. I would.
And just.
If I'm there for 60 years, I'm like, what purpose? Does my universe even fucking look like anymore? There's a chance it doesn't work. You know, it seems like he got settled in there. He had Nightcrawler as an assistant. That was cool.
Wasn't that like an aspect of this where they went back to certain timelines or different points in time, and the whole time, like basically the Earth was just like destroyed?
They do, but that's in this issue.
Next one?
That's for a reason, yeah. But basically in issue 5, the evil lieutenant version of Jamie figured out how to blow up the whole time loop that they were in, because basically this seems like it was going over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. So when our Jamie and the superhero versions jump to the future, there's nothing there because it was all blown up by this guy. So then they jump back to the present, and Lieutenant Jamie Madrix sent his duplicate army to fight the X-Men. This new evil Jamie uses Beast to get the serum that makes him into Prime Jamie, and he uses it on himself, kind of. So now there's two primes, which shouldn't be doing. And they fight, and eventually our Jamie absorbs the Lieutenant Prime Jamie. He then realizes he doesn't really know how to stop all the chaos, so he has the Hulk Jamie Madrix smash his head, which kills all of the other dupes. And then days later, when they're cleaning everything up, the swimsuit timeline duplicate travels back to the present, and he sees the aftermath of everything that happened, and he just sneaks off with the serum that makes him the Prime.
Didn't it seem like...
So that guy just stayed there.
Like the two primes, when they like absorbed, they were like almost like fighting for control.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect because like they're no both primes, which means that they could suck each other off or in.
In.
They could suck each other in.
Yeah.
And it looked like our Jamie had won the suck off, but he was still getting like angry thoughts from the other Jamie.
Yeah, be like, I want to destroy all you.
Which this right is now. Something I've never seen before, because they're like trying to absorb each other, but they're like fighting each other still. And so they're like kind of choking each other out while also being like conjoined twins pretty much.
They were using like the verb resorb.
I've never heard that, but that's probably a word actually.
I don't think so, but they kept saying that.
It's like you absorb again. Or like, would that just be reabsorbed?
Ha, nah, I'm resorbing you. I'm like, what the fuck's happening?
This is a comic book.
In one of them, when they're absorbing each other, he hits the other with like a hammer.
And there's an indent.
Like, you're kind of like giving yourself like brain damage in a way, you know?
And there's like a dent on his head. Did you see that?
Yeah. I was like, he should be dead, dude.
Yeah, that would be crazy. So yeah, we don't ever really see, we see that this lieutenant guy figured out how to blow up the other timelines to like break the time loop, but we don't ever see what he's about. I don't think.
Was like, always under the Emperor and probably just was sick of it. And, you know, always wanted to
figure out how to blow it up, I guess.
Or maybe he was just like a good follower and was like basically following what the Emperor always wanted, kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's not that big of a deal, just because I think another Jamie with a backstory and stuff would be a little bit crazy.
At least it was like a Jamie that looked different.
Yeah, he had a beard and like a scar thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like this point where our Jamie was like, Hank, what happens when there are two Madrix Primes? And he's like, how the fuck should I know? Beast is kind of like fed up this whole book, which I think is really funny. Like he calls Jamie like super annoying all the time.
Yeah, because made Jamie like ask him to make that serum.
Yeah.
Then like 8 minutes later, some other one from a different time is like,
don't do it.
Don't make the serum. He's like, what the fuck? I've been at it for like 8 minutes. And then a minute later, that one gets tackled by another one.
And he's like, God damn it, Jamie.
It's like every issue, one's telling him the opposite of what the previous one just did.
Because there's some sort of time travel thing going on.
It's like everything, this whole thing happened to Beast within like 30 minutes, it feels like.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, it pretty much is. Because right after the group of dupes leave in the first issue, it seems like a minute later, this evil one comes in. So this whole trade happens from the X-Men's perspective in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is wild. It must have been so annoying to draw all of these multiple men, because there are so many.
There's that, you know, for the big like scene or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But
big fights.
I guess it could be to an advantage to where
you don't have to come up with different faces.
Yeah, it's just the same guy over and over.
Yeah. And he's wearing a suit, so everything could be like kind of skin tight.
Right. So let's get into Background Matters.
Yep.
Back matters. Variant covers.
Yeah, we got two variants.
Is it just two?
I just see two.
Oh yeah.
But this Dave Johnson one is pretty awesome. It shows like the mid-dupe process.
Or resorbing.
Or resorbing, that could be it. Yeah. And then we get sketchbook.
He does say multiply in that little speech bubble.
Mm-hmm. Then we get a sketchbook of all the different fake versions of the superheroes. I guess they call them fake Hulk and fake Wolverine and fake Strange. Which probably would have been an easier way to call them. But that's pretty much it. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would give it like it, but not at Coldstone. It's at like competitor or something, like a water and ice or something.
Got it.
And what you do is you do like a Neapolitan thing, but not those flavors, but it's like three just kind of like random flavors, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily work together.
Yeah.
You know, but you think you just pick like your three favorite flavors.
Interesting.
But like when like it melts, like the flavor it melts together isn't quite that good. And it's just kind of weird, you know? That's what I give it.
I like that. I give this 4 sliders that are all different kinds of sliders.
Nice. One grilled onions, one no pickles.
One of them's like a weird one that they are like experimenting with. It's like a blue cheeseburger or something.
Oh, like one of those like peanut butter and jelly burgers.
Oh yeah, one's a peanut butter and jelly burger. And I'm like, this is weird for the medium.
Blue cheese is not experimental. It's always good.
I just don't like blue cheese in general.
You know, like a black and blue burger?
No.
Oh my
god. Give me the black burger only. No blues.
What about like you go to Fired Pie?
Yeah.
They have like a...
You order a burger there?
No, they have like a steak and blue cheese like pizza, and it bucks. It's really good.
I think I just enjoy it as a steak pizza. I don't think so.
What about like dipping wings in blue cheese?
No, absolutely not.
Like the sauce?
No, just give me ranch. A blue cheese sauce?
Yeah, it's...
I don't think so.
It's like the same consistency as ranch, which is blue cheese.
No, I don't think so. It's a little too stanky, I think, for me.
I love this stank. I guess that's the only like application.
That's the only normie application is wings, I feel like.
You know, they're wings and burgers.
Yeah.
when Sarah's pregnant, she couldn't have blue cheese for some reason. Probably because it's like fungi, essentially.
Yeah.
But I had a stone. It was really good.
Yeah. I'm not bothered by the fact that it was fungi either. I think it's a little, just the stankiness, I guess. It comes out a little bit strong, you know? And I'm like, I barely know you. Mm-hmm. So like, get off. That's how I approach it, I think.
I feel like I'm forgetting a pretty big application of blue cheese, but
this isn't like salads and shit, isn't it? Sometimes.
Yeah. So like a cob, you know?
Like the corn kind?
No, a cob salad.
Oh. I've had cob salad. Is there normally blue cheese in that?
Sometimes it's like crumbles and then...
Maybe a crumble if it's just masked by the flavor of everything else.
Maybe. Anyway, yeah, you have a ciders. What do you think League of Common Geeks rated this?
I feel like people are a little bit bitter on it, more so than we are. So like 3.7.
Nailed it.
I did?
Yep.
Let's go. I think it's better than that.
Didn't look it up.
I didn't look it up. I never looked these up. But ooh. I also don't think it's that impressive to understand what a like public consensus of something is, like a public opinion of something is.
Yeah.
You'd be able to get pretty close with any movie's Rotten Tomato score, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. Some of them surprised me.
Yeah. There's definitely those in there. Have you played that like Rotten Tomato game where it's like gives you two movies and you gotta guess which one's higher or lower? It's like a higher lower game. You ever played that?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll have to show you. It's pretty fun.
You know, they used to have like a daily game on Rotten Tomatoes where it
was
like,
that was the best.
Yeah, you would like guess what it was based off of the rating.
They give you like the rating in the year. There'd be
little clues,
right?
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was really fucking hard. And then it like just went away.
Yeah.
Maybe it went back. Maybe it could be back by now.
Yeah, we'd have to check again, I think.
There's also a Rotten Tomatoes app now, so maybe it's on there.
Ooh.
For the longest time, there wasn't an app, but now there is, and it's great.
That's cool. Let's get into the poll list.
Colon.
Show in your box.
Yep.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Absolute Wonder Woman Annual. You get Kelly Thompson and Mattia de Luis. I don't know his name, but he's that guy that was on
The Cole.
The Cole. So I'm excited to see him back because he did a 2-issue thing that we read for this.
Yeah.
For this podcast.
In the first trade.
In the first trade, yep. So that's cool. I picked up DCKO4. Gotta read 3. Ultimate X-Men 24. It's the last one. She's never doing anything ever again except for that other book she already has out for some reason, somehow. Isn't that crazy? She has side-dimensional rivals.
I think it's just a Japanese thing.
Like, they just work really hard?
The grind is just, like, on another level.
Yeah, I think so. Dude, I was talking to Drew about Ultimate X-Men, and he was like, yeah, I was reading with my daughter, and I was reading, he read, like, the other ones with his daughter, and he's like, there's a lot of suicide in this book. I was like, yeah, there's some dark stuff in those books, yeah, isn't like, there?
Immediately it talks about suicide.
Yeah, it presents as like a very kid-friendly book just because it's got kids on there and they're becoming X-Men and that's fun. But yeah, there's some dark shit in there.
Yeah, cutesy and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I also picked up Green Lantern Corps 13 and Jar Jar number 1, baby.
Oh my God.
No, I didn't pick that up. But it is there and I think it's funny that it exists.
Yeah. Spider-Man Noir number 5, Ultimate X-Men 24. And you got books for me, so I was like thinking about getting like the new Deadpool. It's called like Wade Wilson Deadpool. Did you see that?
No. Or I wasn't looking for it, but it's probably there.
Yeah, maybe it didn't come out. Or maybe they didn't have it or something. But I think it's like, who the fuck's on that? Hold on.
I also picked up the Devil.
It was something I recognized.
I picked up the Devil on My Shoulder number 2 for Sophie.
Does that really count for your pull list, though?
Nope. But I think if she likes it and wants me to read it, I will. So eventually I'll read it, probably.
Ben Percy and Jeff Shaw on that
Deadpool. Oh, that seems great.
Yeah, so that could be cool.
Yeah, that's a good team up.
If it's there next time I go, I'll grab
Jeff
it.
Shaw, really? I haven't seen him since like,
it was like
that Donny Cates one. Crosswind. Crossover.
Was that him on that?
I think it's Jeff Shaw.
Hmm. I like just read that. Like, was that him? Yeah, that was a good book.
Yeah.
But yeah, good to see him still. Did you read anything?
I did. I did a bit of absolute catch up.
Batman?
So, not Batman yet. But I caught up on Absolute Martian Manhunter 7 and 8.
Okay.
Really good.
Yeah.
I'm very confident in my Eisner picks.
Mm.
Or at least picking that in there. Because I think you have Javier as artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good. I'm probably going to pick it up all collected just because I think it'll be cool to have. But it's great. And then I've been catching up. I read 7 and 8 of Absolute Martian Manhunter, and I read Absolute Green Lantern 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I think it's up to like 11 right now.
Mm.
And so that rounded out like the first arc.
Absolute or just mainline?
Absolute Green Lantern.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, finished that first. I had to reread 4 because I just like could not remember where I was.
Yeah.
And dude, it definitely picks up, which is cool. I think that first arc is interesting, but it's a weird start place because when issue like 7 hits, it like starts a new arc and it could be the first issue, I think, like just on its own. Because it shows a lot of backstory of like Joe Mullian and like a couple other
good
characters.
Old Joe.
Yeah, good old Joe. Or like John Stewart and Guy Gardner. Like there's backstory on all of them. And there's some drama that's like hot and steamy kind of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is good. Why didn't we start with this?
Yeah, I heard it kind of turns around.
Yeah, so I'm pretty jazzed about it. We see like an evil version of like Kilowog in there, which is cool. There's like the Black Hand entity that's in this, but it's basically just like a symbiote for Green Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of a fun idea. So I'm enjoying it. I like how different it is. So what did you read?
I read Spider-Man Noir number 4.
Ooh, yep.
That took a turn I wasn't expecting.
Really?
Well, not like a twist or anything, but it's just like
vibe-wise.
I didn't really think about where this is going, but it wasn't that.
Okay, cool.
And then I caught up on Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring, number 4 and 5.
Nice.
Are you on that? Do you have that?
I have it. But I haven't.
You gotta read it.
I'm not caught up.
You gotta catch up.
If I gotta, I'll do it.
You gotta do it.
Okay, cool. I'm glad it's still good.
Yeah, it's...
I've enjoyed every issue so far.
Yeah, it's good. I just read it because it was like the first thing on like the short box or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, this is so good. Why do I like sleep on this, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have to wait till like next month because there isn't one coming out this month.
Oh. It's going to 6?
Like, fuck. Yeah.
Did the first one go to 6?
I don't remember either. I think it's 5, but I could be wrong.
That's neat. Uh-oh.
Then I read this? Bloodshot.
Bloodshot? Why did you read? Do you have that already? Is this a Jeff Lemire one?
See how this is in my hands?
Yeah.
It's because I had it.
Well, okay.
No, it's not the Jeff Lemire one. He did Bloodshot Reborn.
Oh, okay. And this is...
maybe some other stuff.
Did I read... Let me see.
This is Dwayne Schwerzinski. This is like the 2012 run. It's like the first trade of that. I bought that years ago on a whim. And I just never got to it.
I might have read this, but I don't remember.
It's kind of good. It's kind of bad.
Cool.
You know?
Just like the movie. Except the movie's mostly bad.
Yeah, there was like just things that, like MacGuffins, I guess, that I thought were like just kind of stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's these people that are like experimenting on, I think, like the little nanites that are in his blood or whatever.
Yeah.
And they have to wear these like suits or whatever so it doesn't contaminate them or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But there's like a new guy who works there, right? And he like nicks a guy's suit with his clipboard. And I guess that punctures his suit.
Jesus.
And then just causes like a whole episode.
So it's made of paper or plastic?
I fucking guess. And I'm just like, the clipboard? You know?
That's crazy.
And then there's this part where Bloodshot's like driving a car and it flips. And he's about to be like executed by this guy, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're out in like the middle of nowhere. Then all of a sudden, this lady who was helping him earlier is just there.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, you didn't see her fucking sneak up. She doesn't have a car or anything. They got her there.
They're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. I'm just like, what do you mean?
Oh, she walked up.
Yeah, she just walked up.
Oh my gosh, like, she's like 10 feet away from him.
Which is there.
Oh, you'd think with the big sniper she has, she'd take it a little bit further away.
Yeah, I mean, she's like a nurse, so it's like, I think this is hit. This is blood shots, you know?
Yeah.
But just like...
there's stupid shit in there.
Like, the good parts are just what bloodshot is, and just me kind of like learning that and seeing that in action is like cool, you uh-huh. know? But just like, the story, I was just like...
I heard the Lemire stuff about. Is solid. I've never read it.
But it seems like such a weird place to like go to because it's so like late in the canon, you know?
Yeah, but you probably get it.
Like probably, but I'm not like in a rush necessarily.
Yeah. Have we done any Valiant yet? We did the Quantum and Woody.
Yeah. It has like some sick ass covers though.
Yeah, those are cool.
Anyway. I think there was a Saad Ribic one.
And a Saad Ribic cover?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's him.
That's sick.
Dude. They were cooking.
So, yeah. I mean, the best part of Bloodshot is just the covers. But that, this is like rated pretty well. So, like, I don't know. I had it. I read it. And
here's what it is.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything?
No, I did a lot of gaming. Mm-hmm. I finished Borderlands 4 with my friend group. Sorry. It's not as good as Borderlands 2, which is like a peak game in my head.
Is that a co-op game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because you can be like different classes of Vault Hunter or whatever. So it's up to four people can play together.
Is it better than the movie?
Oh, yeah. I've only watched half the movie before I had to go do something else. But Borderlands 4, I rate it. Borderlands 2, Borderlands 1, Borderlands 4, and then Borderlands 3, I think is... just a sickening game in general.
Wow.
So they're on the up and up, but it's not quite perfect. I think there's just a lot of yapping and not as many cool things happening.
Mm.
So, and
that seems to just be like just a bad formula for anything.
Yeah. And it becomes just white noise because they'll just like throw enemies at you. Like they'll just kind of spawn in out of nowhere when you're on a main mission just for the sake of giving you something to like do for a little bit longer.
That sounds like the worst.
It wasn't great. So, in Borderlands 2, it's just like, they're all there, and once you clear the room, you've cleared the room kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But not a whole lot of interesting stuff to navigate, I feel like. So, I finished that, and then we started a four-person run of Elden Ring, which Yikes. Is fun. Yikes, only in the sense that the mod isn't, like, perfectly optimized, so it'll just crash randomly, or just...
For multiplayer?
Yeah.
This mod?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a single-player game, and me and Parker played it. Just duo through the whole game, and we had some bugs there, but it wasn't like too bad. And so playing with four people, it like if you can get like a solid hour of gaming in, that's pretty good before something like crashes. That's fine. And then I also started this game called Lords of the Fallen 2 with just me, my buddy Parker, and that's basically just an Elden Ring or Souls like game that's meant to be co-op. And it's pretty cool. I like that game a lot.
For sure.
So I'm doing a lot of that, I guess. What did you watch?
Not a lot. Have you ever seen any ads for like that network comedy DMV?
Yes.
Got like Tim Meadows in it.
I don't know who that is, but I know what you're talking about.
Like the black guy from the second season of Peacemaker, who had the bird blindness.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in it.
I don't know that was his name, but yeah.
I learned his name after Peacemaker because I just thought he was so funny. And like I've just seen him in so much stuff.
He's in a lot of Sandler stuff.
And, a lot of Sandler stuff.
Yeah.
He's never picked up for me. But yeah, it's not good. It's pretty bad. Someone told me to watch it and now I don't trust their opinion. So.
I mean, fair enough.
Like, I guess like, and they're all just kind of like.
I mean, it's not like a comedy.
It's not a mockumentary thing or anything, but it just seems like kind of everything is The Office, but in a different place. You know, different setting.
Yeah.
But
like people are saying like Superstore is supposed to be good. That like Walmart one.
It seems a lot like that, but
got it.
You know, just people are saying that it's good. That's like a
later seasons of it are like supposed to be okay.
It's like an 8-year-old show, isn't it? It's like kind of old.
Yeah, but if it has that long, someone likes it.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. There's shows that go on for like a long time that who knows how, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, comfort shows, I guess, for people.
There's
just better comfort shows.
There's like
shows
jokes here and there. I'm like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And then we watched a show called The Nick. I heard about it on TikTok. It's like a show that's over. I only had like 2 seasons or something, but
canceled or like over.
Who?
I guess you're not there.
But it's like a hospital drama, but it's set in like the year 1900 in New York.
Cool.
And so it's like people are just like figuring out surgery.
That's cool.
You know,
I like that a lot.
Like they have like a problem and they just like have to fucking brainstorm, you know? And it's so fucking crazy watching them do this shit back then.
Yeah.
They don't put gloves on when they like are digging in people.
They don't know what germs are, dude.
They don't know what germs are. And
they don't have ibuprofen, dude.
Dude, you know how they fucking got people's pulse? They have a nurse just holding it. Like, how's his pulse? Like, it's pulsing, you know?
They didn't know how to like count it yet or anything.
They would just say like it's strong and steady or whatever. That's all they say.
I like that.
They don't fucking say what the BP is or the heart rate. And it's just fucking nuts.
That's a really funny concept for a show.
And there's this like hotshot surgeon guy who's like actually insane and like a junkie because cocaine was like fucking Tylenol back then.
Oh yeah.
They just gave it to people for like, you know, kind of to numb stuff.
Yeah.
And to
just make them feel crazy.
Not even crazy. Like it didn't seem like they got like fucking jacked up from it, but
like just enough of a distraction to do a surgery on somebody, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and there's like a black surgeon who's like brilliant, but obviously there's a lot of problems
in that
time. Yeah. It's in like New York is when it's based.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got so Clive Owen is in it. He's like the main guy. And then it's got that kid from Sky High.
Oh.
And he's
good
in
for
it.
Him.
Yeah. It's just like really fucking interesting because you're like, holy shit.
We have a good.
And so they kind
comparatively.
Of. Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of cool. I'm sure like the shit they're doing maybe has some truth to it on like how it was discovered or whatever.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
I don't think it's based off any kind of like history. But
it's an interesting time to set a period piece.
Yeah.
For like a medical drama, I guess.
Right.
I assume they did a good amount of research to like when things were invented, like Tylenol or gloves.
Like in one of the episodes, the surgeon just like cut open a lady who was like dead already and then just like grabbed her heart and like massaged it to like keep her pulse going.
Holy
just
shit.
To see if it'd work.
Cool.
You know, they do that now, like, and that's like a pretty common thing with.
Yeah, but he's like, I got crazy and stuff idea.
Like that. You're like, yeah, it's like, fuck with this.
What if I did it?
Right. And so, yeah, it's super interesting. So we've been watching that.
That's cool.
But yeah. But what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
I don't know. Have we got stuff coming out? Not really.
Daredevil.
Already? If you read the Daredevil book? I'm down.
Like, if you want.
What would we even do? There's a Zdarsky run that I enjoy.
There's Mark Waid.
Should we do the Mark Waid Chris Samney one?
Brubaker. Fucking Bendis.
No, I don't like Bendis's.
You don't like Bendis's run?
Well.
Or you just don't like Bendis?
I like Bendis. I tried reading his Daredevil and I was like, there's a lot of words. So I don't.
Okay.
But that was like a long time ago. I'd probably really appreciate it now. But I'd rather do the Wade Samney one. You want to do that?
I'm down for that.
Cool. Let's do it.
Let's make sure we can get it.
Oh, yeah. True. I would be shocked if we couldn't.
Because the thing with that one is that Samney didn't start on Wade's run. So he kind of jumps in like a little bit later.
He's not in the first volume?
Oh, there's Daredevil Yellow too. Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale.
That one I haven't read.
Neither have I. Have you read any of those?
The Samney one?
No, like the...
I've read Spider-Man Blue.
Me too, yeah.
But I've not read Daredevil Yellow. How long is that?
150 pages.
I'm down for that too.
Should we flip a coin?
Sure.
Between Yellow and Devil Samney?
Abbey. Yeah.
So, are you going to do it where there's like an animation that you can see?
I mean, yeah. What's wrong with that?
All right, what's what?
So, heads will be Daredevil Yellow.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
It's going. Heads.
It's going?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We got heads.
The yellow?
Yeah, so Daredevil Yellow.
Cool. Are they going to do a third season of this show?
I think so. I think that's the plan. And then I think that's it.
Only three seasons?
The original show was three seasons.
Yeah, but it's a new day. a new era. It's Marvel, baby.
They're going to keep turning it out.
Yeah, I mean, if like something works, they seem to run with it, you know? But also, I think these two seasons were like filmed already, so.
I don't think that's true, is it? They were filmed back to back?
I think the first season was supposed to be like 18 episodes or something. But then I think they like reshot some stuff and then recut it to where like to be two seasons. So I don't know.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think you're right on that. Because yeah, it like wasn't working originally, I guess, when something they were like first that. Filming it and then they redid it. So, I don't know. I have hope for the second season to be better than the first, just based off what I saw in the trailer, which is basically just based off of nothing.
Yeah, maybe like the first
season. I'm just hoping it's better because I didn't love the first Born Again season. I think thematically it's kind of all over the place.
Sure. We'll see. Anyway, Daredevil Yellow.
Yup. Another Tim Sale, Jeff Loeb book.
Yeah, we'll get to the other Daredevil stuff. There's a lot of runs.
Yeah. A lot of iconic runs.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Let us know if we should have done the Devil at Bay run. I don't
know. Let us know for big, stupid chuds. That's what the kids are saying.
What's a chud?
You know what a chud is? Do you know what being chopped is?
Yeah.
Do you know what a huzz is?
Yeah.
I think that's like an amalgamation of those two words, but I don't know the history.
You're chopped huzz?
You're chopped huzz, and so you're just a chud?
That's tough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let us know for chuds.
Let us know your favorite Daredevil run that we'll do someday, maybe.
Yeah.
Link tree in our bio. Like, comment, subscribe. Did I say that?
Couldn't hurt to say it again.
Email at tradewearspod@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
And goodbye.